This is an update in my continuing coverage of the mysterious star KIC 8462852, or Tebby Star, for December of 2021. Yet again, things have taken a turn for the mysterious with this star, and the circumstances surrounding it. But before we get to that, here's what the star has been doing lately in a nutshell. Last month, the star changed behavior somewhat, and seemingly went into a sustained 1% dimming period. This is not characteristic of the star. It generally exhibits short-term, but often very deep, dips. For example, in the Kepler data, the dips reached as much as 22%, but tended to only last for a few days or so. Instead, here, we've had a sustained plus or minus 1% dip that's lasted nearly a month. That also shows brief periods of recovery, including a current one. In a way, it's doing almost the opposite mirror image of what it usually does. This 1% dimming is noteworthy in another way. It's rather shallow. The dips in the star's brightness since it's been observed after the Kepler mission tend towards weaker and weaker dimming events. This might be consistent with a collisional model, such as colliding cold comets as was first advanced by Dr. Boyajian in the early days of the story. The problem is that you need an implausibly high number of comets to do this, or effectively a giant comet that might better be classed as a planet disintegrating. But so far, no models of this nature have predicted exactly what's observed with this star. Another noteworthy development with the current dimming is that one observer found that the material obscuring the star during this dimming went optically thick for a time, basically floating in and out of optical thickness. This was found by observing different wavelengths of light, and if it actually is the case, it would indicate the dust cloud is getting significantly thicker and thinner as it passed in front of the star, but remained thick enough to keep the star visually dimmed. Optical thickness can mean several things, including a huge solid object obscuring a star, such as a gigantic alien megastructure, but in this case it looks like the dust simply went thick for a time, complicating models. But, while unlikely, some kind of alien origin remains on the long-shot table for this star, and that's something that's deepened a bit, more on that later. Point is, this star is behaving very strangely, even for a phenomenon of dust. One particularly vexing aspect of the star is how the dust is hanging around in the system at all. The star exhibits a long-term dimming trend, which is probably directly linked to the short-term dimming events. But after all, how likely is it that two separate but unusual phenomena would be happening with the same star without being linked, especially when both involve dimming? But this dust is known to be very small. Through studies comparing different wavelengths of light, absorption during dips, this is tiny submicron stuff that should be continuously blown out of the system. So whatever is happening seems to be replenishing the dust at a greater rate then it's being blown out, confounding collisional models. On the other hand, the fact that the dips have recently become more shallow as compared to when Kepler observed it tends to support a collisional model where things are dissipating. Another development is that the dip seems to coincide with predictions of periodicity put forth by Gary Sacco, who many of you know has been checking in on this subject with his collection of observations over on Event Horizon. We'll check in again with him soon, and the observation season for this star is ending. But the establishment of periodicity is very important in figuring out what's going on with the star, such as if this could be some kind of phenomenon of interstellar dust, and we're just seeing this from line of sight, or if it's indeed in orbit around the star. Interstellar dust is unlikely, because if it were that, we should see it also affecting nearby stars to KIC 8462852 from our line of sight. A cloud at night does not cover just one star. It covers all nearby ones from your perspective. Same with the galaxy. This is not seen, and whatever is happening is only having an effect on this specific point-like star system, suggesting that the dust around it is orbiting it. Establishing this orbit is key. Because if Sacco's right in his paper, linked to all cited papers below, then the dust-blocking Tabby star is orbiting it within the star's habitable zone. Evidence for this seems to be growing. But that's where it gets puzzling, because dust like that especially at the measured size of the dust, which is very tiny smoke-like material, should be warming in infrared, as well as blowing out of the system. No infrared emissions from this dust have been seen, and given the long-term dimming trend over at least a century that's present with the star, then some of it must be hanging around and should be glowing with warmth. It's apparently not, but at least established periodicity will help in sorting this out, and perhaps shedding light on whether this dust is truly cold. The best natural hypothesis to explain the behavior of the star is some kind of rather odd collisional model, where cascades of material collide and create dust clouds. But it's hard to envision a method where this could do it continuously long term. Remember, strong evidence for dips in the star's light have been found in past sky surveys, dating from the 1930s to the 1970s, in addition to Kepler's observations and those done since. Whatever is going on is doing so continuously in some sort of prolonged process. What that process is remains very much unclear, and it may even get more unclear. And here's where the star itself hasn't thrown us another curveball, but indeed the galaxy has. In a paper by Edward Schmidt, he details searches he's done through past sky surveys to try to find candidates behaving in a similar manner to KSE 8462852. This is a natural thing to do. If you want to understand something, it's far better to have multiple examples to study and compare than just a single one. And he found no shortage of candidates reported across two papers. This is good news for characterizing Tabby's star, because now those candidates can be observed and monitored. If they are indeed due to the same phenomenon, then observers will be able to collect a lot more data on different candidates and get a much clearer picture of what could possibly be going on with these stars. Within this, there is also the possibility of a smoking gun answer that settles it once and for all, some clearer example of what dust in these systems is doing, what is creating it, and so on. But this also goes for the alien option as well. And that's where things get strange. The new paper reports 15 new candidates for stars behaving like KSE 8462852. Termed slow-term dippers, the light curves of these stars are very similar to Boyajian's star, but there's something odd here. Two apparent patterns have emerged in this data that do not appear to be random chance, though more data and candidates are needed to go further with this. The first is the candidate stars seem to cluster, and more they seem to cluster in the general area of KSE 8462852. This is not what you would expect from a random distribution of stars. It, oddly enough, is what you would expect from an expanding alien civilization, evoking the ideas of potential mining operations being the culprit for the dust creation. But one has to be very careful here, because invoking alien civilizations comes with some severe problems. The biggest is aliens of the gap's thinking, where aliens can do just about anything, and thus you can invoke them to explain away anything. You need more to go on, and it just isn't here yet with these stars. But the clustering remains very odd. Now naturally, the next question to ask would be, is the reason for the clustering superficial, and that some intervening dust in the interstellar medium is causing the effect? This isn't the case, because again, you'd see nearby stars also dimming and experiencing the effect, and that is not seen. So whatever it is, it's going on directly around these stars, and there is no good reason for the apparent clustering, if it indeed turns out to be real, which it seems to be. But then we come to oddity number two. Not only do the candidate stars cluster in space, but they also cluster in type on the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram. This is beyond weird. All of the stars are either type F, like Tabby's star, or type G, like the Sun. Giant stars and small stars do not seem to do this, and this makes no sense on its face. You'd think you'd see that happening with orange dwarfs and red dwarfs and all sorts of stars. But it may be that those types of stars somehow eliminate dust like this more efficiently than type F and G, but that's just a shot in the dark. But it's worth noting that obviously type G stars are pretty good for life, we live next to one. And type F stars are a bit shorter lived, but pretty stable. And while they may not be ideal for life to form around, they may be just fine for aliens to colonize and use. But needless to say that this development is kind of spooky. Clustering in space, and clustering and stellar classification at the same time. As a result, the paper suggests that these new candidates may make worthwhile candidates for SETI to take a closer look at, and indeed, they should be studied in general, just to try to determine exactly what this vexing phenomena that happens to some stars, apparently selectively, is, whether natural or otherwise. And for fun, I'll leave you with this. For Northern Hemisphere observers, and those north enough to see them that know your constellations or have a phone app that does, you can at least look in the general direction of these stars and ponder what might be going on here. Tabby Star is located in the constellation Cygnus, sometimes known as the Northern Cross or the Swan. The next constellation over is Lyra, marked by one of the night sky's most famous and brightest stars, Vega, also of science fiction fame. That was the first star Jodie Foster saw on her journey in contact. These candidate stars, while not naked eye visible, are clustered around the constellation of Lyra, with Tabby Star being just above the wing of the Swan pointing towards Lyra. See Vega and you're in the right area. Interesting indeed, and it's something I do often when those constellations are in the sky. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently musing about KSE 8462852 again. Just when you think we're getting a solid handle on what's going on with it, you suddenly find out you don't. That's been the case for the star since 2015, and I've little doubt that there are more surprises to come. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.